WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it's really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, welcome to Monday Night Talk. Just a quick tease of the first hour, and then we're actually jumping right into a surprise guest. The first hour will be Brockton Mayor Moses Rodriguez and two-time Stanley Cup winner Kevin Stevens, Indy Bernstein, and Alex Bazanson talking about their new show, Cross Check Radio. But before we introduce our surprise guest, if you will, we need a little mood music here.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I dreamt of once, and a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that we dared to dream really do come true.
Now, if you didn't know it, that's the voice of singing Ed Noddle. And if you show up this Saturday, I think it's this Saturday night, at Mulligan's at Joe Angelo's Cafe, you can hear the rest of the song. We have a gentleman who is, you know him from his years in baseball, more than five decades, especially the Brockton Rocks, the Can-Am League Brockton Rocks, also spent time with the Boston Red Sox in their farm system with New Britain and Pawtucket. I think he was even the International Baseball Manager of the Year. And he's here to tell us a little bit about a special event that he's going to be taking part of. He only has a couple of moments. Ed Noddle, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good to talk to you, Kevin. Thank you.
Hey, if you will, tell folks, you were telling me about this fundraiser in regards to the Challenger League. This is you're trying to help them with a trip to the Little League World Series. Give us the details.
What took place very quickly, a year ago, I'm the commissioner of the Challenger League in Evansville, Indiana, and a year ago we were picked to go to the Little League World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We went, it was the greatest thing ever. And then this year, I was going through some troubles. My wife passed away a couple months ago, and things were going a little tough, and I got a phone call. We got a phone call, and then they contacted the people in Malden, Massachusetts, and District 12, playing out of Malden, were picked to go to the World Series this year. Not just the only team in Massachusetts, the only team in the United States to play against Canada's Challenger team. A Challenger team is a team made up of handicapped children in Little League. It's the greatest program I've ever been involved in. To make a long story short, they're trying to raise money. They were kind enough, at the funeral, a beautiful floral arrangement showed up for my wife from them, who I'd never met. I just talked to them on the phone. And Joe Angelo, my buddy from Brockton, flew in for Patty's funeral. I said to Joe, what's the chance of me coming to your place? We do a show for the kids of Malden. Well, he said, fine. That's ballooned into they're bringing over 150 people from Malden this Saturday night at Mulligan's, the back room of Joe Angelo's Cafe in Brockton. It's $20 a ticket. I'm certainly not worth $20, but you're going to have great entertainment. The whole idea is sending handicapped children to the Little League World Series in Williamsport. That's what it's all for. I would love to have a lot of friends. I've done a lot of charities for children in this area. Anyone that's been involved in my charities, anyone that's been involved over at the Rocks, I would invite you, please come. Saturday night starts at 6 o'clock, and it's going to be a great night. Entertainment, a lot of prizes, raffle tickets, half pot, a few beers. You're stuck with me singing, but that you can put up with that. That's all for the kids, so you got to put up with that.
Well, if I can ask you real quick, and what was it like to see those kids from Evansville be able to go to the Little League World Series? What was it like?
It was unbelievable. Plus, Little League sent us $15,000 for 15 of our kids to go. We got 130 kids, so we raised $170,000 in 3 months. I sang at every bar in Indiana, I think. And we flew them there. We had a jet that cost us $105,000. It was unbelievable. But they treated us great there. It's something that these kids will never forget the rest of their life. I had 51 years in pro baseball, and this trip to Williamsport with this special team was a highlight of my baseball career, and it impressed me more than anything I've ever done in my life. That's why I'm here, trying to help the kids from District 12 to get their one trip of a lifetime.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us and letting us know about the special fundraiser taking place. It is this Saturday, is that correct?
Saturday night at Mulligan's, Joe Angelo, $20 a ticket. You can get a ticket as you come to the door. It'll definitely be worth that night. You'll be sleeping better just for what you accomplished, believe me.
And Joe Angelo is located in Brockton, 11 Crescent Street, as he says, $20 per person, 21 or older. And you get to hear Ed Noddle singing. You got a little bit of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. He has quite the catalog, so you definitely want to be there, and it's for a great cause. Ed, again, thank you, my friend, for joining us.
Kevin, I thank you. You've been a good friend to me and my baseball life for a long time. I'm looking forward to seeing you again in the near future.
You got it. There he is, a singing Ed Noddle, joining us for a few moments here to tell us about that special fundraiser to help those kids from Malden go to the Little League World Series to take on Canada. Well, time for us to segue into traffic being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop. Online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island of Bedford.
Listen, we at Brennan Smoke Shop know that you're a smart consumer. We at Brennan Smoke Shop understand why you would mail order your cigars. It's a lot less expensive, even after postage and handling. Never mind the exorbitant mass excise tax of 40% looking at 70%. But I'll have you know that I'm up on Beacon Hill lobbying for less discriminatory taxes and regulations. And I would like to thank all of our loyal customers for giving me the opportunity to stand up for everyone's rights, freedoms, and liberties. Brennan Smoke Shop.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We're back for our first segment here on Monday Night Talk. And before I get ready to introduce my first guest, I got to roll a little bit of tape. Ben, if you will, please roll the tape.
I, Moses M. Rodriguez,
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
To the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
And will support the Constitution thereof.
And will support the Constitution thereof.
So help me God.
So help me God.
I,
Moses M. Rodriguez,
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge and perform.
Discharge and perform.
All the duties incumbent upon me.
All the duties incumbent upon me.
As mayor to the city of Brockton.
As mayor to the city of Brockton.
According to the best of my ability and understanding.
According to the best of my abilities and understanding.
Agreeably to the rules and regulations of the Commonwealth.
Agreeable to the rules and regulations of the Commonwealth.
And the ordinances of the city of Brockton.
And the ordinances of the city of Brockton.
So help me God.
So help me God.
I,
Moses M. Rodriguez,
do solemnly swear, that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations,
Thank
Mayor.
You.
And so that is the swearing in of the 49th mayor of the city of Brockton, a gentleman who, it's interesting enough, and I think we made a little bit of history on Monday Night Talk, not that anybody's actually technically keeping track of records, but the gentleman who is joining us in just half a second here was on earlier this month as the president of the city council and now joins us later in the month as the mayor of Brockton. We have Moises Rodriguez joining us. How are you today, sir?
Not too bad, but Moses, I think, will be perfectly fine.
Well, and I have to say, now the, me and my media colleagues, I've gone round and round with folks, and I'm like, I've known the guy for many years, and I think there was one day you actually stopped me when I called you Moses, you know, and you said, and now I've probably been saying it incorrectly because I have to say Moises, but it's Moises, as you have corrected me, correct?
Well, you know, it's actually the version of Moses in Portuguese. And in Portuguese, it would be Moises. But the issue is that, you know, people try to be politically correct. And so the butchering of the name begins with, it's Moises, 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 Moises. I mean, you name it, you know. So I actually go by, and I have been going by Moses since about 40 years ago, because of the I in it, and then there's actually a little accent on top of the E, on the E between the two S's, so it technically is pronounced Moises in Portuguese. So that's, I was Moises for 16 years of my life, and I've been kind of everything for the last 41, 42 years, so Moses is fine.
So, talk to me. You know what's interesting here is when folks, when individuals are elected to become mayor, there's usually a little bit of a transition period from the November elections to the inauguration day. You have had quite the whirlwind month because of circumstances that were beyond anybody's control. You have become you know, being the head of a governing body to now you are the executive of the city of Brockton.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, usually there's a transition period for anybody that gets elected, even if it's a city council. It's like going to the beach when you get there, the water's kind of cold. You tip your toes in, and then you might move in. You know, get the water up to your ankles, and then up to your knees. By the time it gets to your hip, you get acclimated to the water before you jump in. In my case, it seems like somebody picked me up and threw me in, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how it's been since the passing of Mayor Carpenter. We've been swimming in that cold water until you get acclimated to it. And now we've got no choice other than stay afloat and swimming, you know?
What is your first week as mayor been like?
Well, you know what? Gazillions of meetings up to, you know, like you'd believe, getting from having some folks coming from the outside looking, you know, to do some business with the city to, the various entities that have already existed in the city to a beautiful graduation from the Edison Academy the other night, which I really enjoyed. I mean, we graduated over 200 and something young people and young adults from our specialized high school here in the city, and that was very enjoyable. I really enjoy that because it gave me a chance to see all the people in a nice setting of folks that were moving on in their lives of education, and that was pretty cool.
Now, what's interesting is that in just a short time tonight, you are going to be having your first meeting. Standing before your former colleagues, possibly, hopefully, depending on what happens in November, your colleagues once again, if you're reelected as an at-large councillor, what's it going to be like tonight going before the city council to chat with them?
Well, you know, one thing that I have, I think, going that perhaps maybe Mayor Carpenter didn't have is that I have a great relationship with my colleagues in the council. I mean, it was evident by, technically, I'm going to say 10-0 vote from that body to elect me both council president and mayor over this year, basically. So it'll be a little interesting, but I've been in communications with them all along. I mean, I've met up with a smaller group. I've talked to just about every single one of them over the last week or so. So I think the fact that to me is very important. You know, that communication exists between those two branches, because I don't think this city can progress as it should if you don't have that relationship. And that's one thing. And I mentioned that to Mayor Carpenter when I first became council president. You know, that relationship has to exist. And it can't just be a one-sided relationship. It has to be a two-sided type of thing. And I am actually glad that I am one of the individuals that's doing this, because that actually affords me that opportunity to continue to foster that relationship. And, you know, they know that I'm going, chances are, I will be going back to the city council, you know, so we'll be colleagues again. So that's actually, I think, a very good spot to be in.
You decided, and you made the announcement. Actually, I don't know if it was necessarily an announcement. I know that during the nomination period, that one of your fellow counselors or former counselors, colleagues, had asked, do you intend on focusing fully on, you know, being just the mayor, interim mayor, or are you going to be out campaigning while serving as mayor? And you were forthcoming and saying, no, I'm going to be interim, and I had made a promise that I would serve 4 terms on the city council, and I intend to keep that promise. Knowing that you've made that commitment, do you have a small window in which to set goals? Have you even thought of a couple of things that you want to at least be able to accomplish during your abbreviated time in office?
Well, as the clerk explained this to me the other night when I met with the other day, then when it's not a night, I think it was in the afternoon when I met with him, and he's like, listen, I just want to let you know that it doesn't matter if you're elected mayor for a day, a month, 3 months, 6 months, 6 years. It doesn't really matter. In the history of the books of this city, you are mayor. So I suggest you do something, you know, that you can't just be a placeholder for 6 months and then hope for whatever happens the next time around. So there are a couple of things that I, you know, had been working on as a council that were not able to do because sometimes it was kind of difficult to deal with some of the department heads that actually were manning those posts. Those are the things that I intend to get rolling within the next 5.5 months now that we actually have. But I'm gonna try to do that, and those will be things that we will do because I have the support from my fellow councilmen, and then now we have the support from the corner office downstairs to accomplish that, and I think we're gonna be able to do that.
What was it like when you were sworn in, that the council chambers were filled and people were chanting your name? What was it like, and what has it been like when people are engaging or seeing you out in public as the honorable mayor of Brockton?
Well, it's strange because, again, I have this, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a powerful name, you know, this Moses thing, you know, for the longest time, and now people are calling you mayor, and that is kind of strange, you know? I mean, some people, you know, people in government, you know, have been calling me counselor for the last 5.5 years. But I think mayor is a little, I don't want to say strange, but it's a little kind of weird, you know. But what I saw though on Monday night was the fact that we had people in that chamber from all color spectrums of the city, you know, Caucasians, African Americans, Cape Verdean Haitians, Hispanics. There were people in that chamber. I mean, the place was packed to a point where I had never seen it like that. You know, I've been involved in a lot of things in the city, but I hadn't seen it packed to the level that it was on Monday night. And of interest was actually an African-American woman, probably in her 80s. She had tears in her eyes, you know, and I approached her and I said, hey, what's going on? You know, she said, you know, I couldn't imagine a day where I would actually walk up here and hear someone of color taking the oath of office to serve as mayor in this city. You know, and that was kind of, it was touchy. You know, we held there together for a couple, you know, for a few seconds and stuff. And to me, it was kind of important to more to them than it was to me, because I'm just, you know, I consider myself just a regular individual that will not change for the next 6 months. It will not change from what I, you know, always did. I took 25 of my compliments from the church to Vermont for the weekend prior to Monday night, you know. So basically on Friday night we left and came back on Sunday with a group of children and young adults that I had promised that I was going to take away for a retreat. I have about 65 young people in a youth group that I lead. I intend to do something with them during the summer, as the summer progresses. You know, so those things aren't going to change. My time might change because it's not up to me anymore. It's up to the demands of the city. But as far as me, myself, things aren't going to change. I'm going to continue to be who I was. I'm going to continue to be the volunteer and the, you know, proactive person that I was in the community. That's what I intend to continue to do for the next 6 months. And then the years to come, as long as the big guy up above allows me to continue to do that.
Yeah, we're speaking with, Moses, however you want to say it, Mayor of Brockton, Mayor Rodriguez. You know, it's interesting you mentioned about, you know, the woman who had come up to you, but this is the second time that you have made history in the city of Brockton, not only becoming, you know, the head of being the council president of that governing body of the city council. That was something that, you know, a person of color achieving, and now being the first, Caucasian, being, you know, Cape Verdean descent. To grab that mantle and become mayor, that doesn't affect you at all?
Affect me. I'm just saying that it's more important for the people that actually have been living in this city a lot longer than I have, people that have been alive a lot longer than I have. I see it more for them, like kind of an accomplishment, you know, for them than it actually is for me, because I've never been someone that's been about me. You know, I'm about putting this planet to be able to try to do something to leave this this earth a little bit better than I found it. You know, if I can actually influence it one way or the other, you know, so be it. But I see it more in terms of, you know, accomplishing something from a people standpoint versus an individual accomplishment.
When do you plan on, have you already grabbed your papers for re-election for at large? We've got a week left here. Folks are already making a run on, last week counted, there was 13 folks who have pulled papers to run for mayor. I lost count how many people are running for at large.
Oh, because with Sullivan announcing that he's running for mayor, so that frees up another two spots on the city council at large grouping there. So that's why, you've got I think there were 16 or 18, but yes, I actually had pulled my papers prior to even the mayor passing, because I had decided long ago that I wasn't going to run for mayor this term, you know, this time around. You know, so I had actually pulled my papers, probably before, 99% of the people who are running now.
Right. Well, anything you want to say as we wrap up this segment moving forward, which stuff that you may have on the docket? I know one of the things that was, I think you might have mentioned on Monday night, or we might have had a conversation, that was the Loebs case. I know that's kind of looming large. A lot of folks have said that might be something that they would try to tackle to resolve that. Is that something that you may look at that might be on your radar?
Yeah, it is. It is because when you have a large settlement pending against the city, it affects your bond rating. It affects your standing financially in different places. I think we need to look into how to resolve this issue one way or the other, you know, because we can't sit here and continue to have these issues hanging over our heads. That's one thing. Another thing is that, you know, I honestly believe the city did not do a very good job in terms of, allowing host agreements for the marijuana licenses that will be coming forward in the city. I intend to kind of look at some of those things as well to see how we can, perhaps open it up to a certain segment for another week or so we can, you know, cover our bases. Because I honestly don't believe that, you know, you should actually do something behind closed doors. Or transparency is important to me. Perhaps it's because I've been a counselor for a while now, and I want to be able to see things done in the open. That's something else that we're going to look into. I'm looking into a possibility of building some soccer facilities in the city, because that's one of the things that we've had issues with for quite some time. I think we kind of need to open those doors and figure out how to go about moving those things forward. So those are at least the three things that I'm looking to tackle right away as we move along, as well as continue to run the city as the taxpayers would demand of us.
Well, I want to thank you, Mayor, for joining us and having a nice chat talking about your first week and some of the things that you hope you're able to achieve by January.
Hey, listen, absolutely, and I want to thank you for your availability. I want to thank you for your commitment to the city. I mean, everywhere we go, we see you there, you know, with your little recorder, you know, your now a camera. I mean, I don't know when you became a photographer, but I, you know, it's impressive, you know. So I want to thank you for doing that, and I ask you to continue to do that because our city needs to showcase a lot of the good that we do. I mean, often all you see from Brockton is when the news is a bleeding type of news, but there's a lot of good happening in the city that we need to kind of, you know, bring to light and let the other communities. Because, you know, Kevin, another thing that I kind of look at is, you know, Brockton is the only city in Plymouth County, you know, so when the only city in the Plymouth, in the county itself, all you hear from it is bad news or, you know, bleeding news, it doesn't land a decent amount of confidence or security in the surrounding towns, because there are people in the surrounding communities that come to Brockton for services, but when they hear nothing but negative news all the time, sometimes it kind of, you know, keeps them from coming into the community and doing what they need to do to help us all move forward in this, you know, in the South Shore.
There he is, the 49th mayor, Honorable Mayor Moises Rodriguez. Friends call him Moses. And we'll look forward to having more conversations with him and more conversations here on Monday Night Talk. Stay tuned for more. You're listening to 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Some years ago, in the city of Boston, a local politician took advantage of a fortunate coincidence. His name just happened to be John F. Kennedy. The same name as you know who. Now, each election cycle, he never advertised. Not a sign to be seen, no speeches, no campaign, no problem. He never lost. What's in a name? Well, sometime later, a fed-up citizen legally changed his name so as to become a certain winner on the ballot. What was his new legal name? None of the above. Yeah, he changed it to that. Of course, the clerk wouldn't put him on the ballot.
Hi, I'm Peter Brown from Tiny and Sons Auto Glass. As you know, we work with all the elected officials who are involved in community service. They're actually a hardworking bunch, and they really do their best. And so do we.
CrossCheck's radio mission is to end the stigma of substance abuse through media, outreach, and awareness. Each week, Kevin Stevens and Andy Bernstein will address the issues surrounding the topic of addiction and substance abuse with relevant content, celebrity and notable guests, and useful information. Tune in to CrossCheck Radio, sponsored by BTA Building and Remodeling, tonight at 8, here on 95.9 WATD. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Hey, we are back here on Monday Night Talk. And how perfect is that? Ben, nice job playing the promo prior to having our three guests and our new show debuting at 8 o'clock tonight. On my radio dial, well, on your radio dial from left to right, we have Alex Bezanson, Andy Bernstein, and two-time Stanley Cup champion, Kevin Stevens, as they are going to be your hosts starting tonight at 8 o'clock. Andy, you want to take it from here? Talk to us a little bit about this new show?
Sure. CrossCheck was a show we started in 2017. Kevin, myself, his sister Kelly came up with an idea for a radio show to try to help people who are struggling with addiction. And so we created CrossCheck as a way to have open and honest discussions. And so we do it through notable guests, information, resources. So that's kind of how the show started, and we've been on the air since December of 2017.
Yeah, and not too long ago, we actually had Alex and Kevin talking about the video, actually the TV show.
Yes.
So this is basically, this is kind of the same thing, no?
Yeah, yeah.
It just lacks video.
It lacks video, but the video, because when we left radio, kind of went to podcast, and the idea behind it is that when you see us, we're silly.
And you wear an LA Dodgers hat and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But the more people we can reach, the better. So through the TV and then also with WATD, we know we can reach the masses.
What do you think of that, Kevin?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, you know, is that we get, we reach people, we reach the people that we have to reach, you know, and we use so many different avenues to do it, because I think, you know, it is such a big problem out there, and we all know people that are suffering from addiction, we all know families that are suffering from addiction, so it's not the one person, you know, we try to always focus on the addict, it's about the people and how we all handle that, and how we work toward, you know, getting better, you know, together, and it's been great, you know, like I said, we've had a lot of great guests, and I think that's what makes this thing, you know, this thing go. You know, we can talk all we want about it, but, you know, it's like to spread the message out there with different guests and different people that suffer with this problem or people that are helping people get better, you know?
I will tell you that I was hoping when I saw you again, Kevin, we would be celebrating a Boston Bruins Stanley Cup. Because a few weeks ago, we were chatting about it, saying, we think it's going to be five. Get Bruins in five, Bruins in six.
I think we all predicted that.
What the hell happened?
I heard the clip.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. You know,
what the hell happened?
It's one game. You know, when it comes out, the worst thing any team could get to that's supposed to really... The Bruins are the favorite to win. And when you get to that seventh game, you don't want to get to the seventh game. I've been there and lost before as a favorite, you know? As the underdog, you know, you're playing with house money a little bit, then it's good to be in that situation. St. Louis deserved to win game seven. They played better. The Bruins looked like they were stiff. They looked slow. They looked a little tired, but... But St. Louis had the jump, and just one game, you know, one game. They got up 2-0, and looked like that was like 100-0, wasn't it?
Basically, I have to say, one of your first shows that you did over at Abingdon Cam, we'll get you in a second, Alex, was
Derek Sanderson.
Derek Sanderson.
Yeah.
You guys get some great guests.
We do, and everybody is willing to come on and talk. We've had Mark Recchi, Theo Fleury.
Yeah, we've had a lot of guys, you know, that suffer through this that, you know, are in the public eye, and we've had guys that just are people in recovery, the normal people, you know. We're all suffering from the same, us, the addicts, we're all suffering from the same problem, but they get guys like Derek on. Derek was big because, you know, he's well-known, he's been out there, and he's out there supporting and trying to make people better and make this addiction thing, you know, the best we can get it, and he's been good like that.
And I think what's fantastic, Alex, you bring a local thing as well, being someone who helped form a coalition in Abingdon, correct?
Correct. Lisa and I formed the Abingdon Substance Awareness Coalition in 2015, and I think that was the reason Kevin and Andy had me on their radio show maybe about a year ago.
It was love at first sight.
And, yeah, he is kind of a pretty guy, isn't he? He's got it going on.
But I will tell you, the first radio show I ever did was with this guy right here.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it for the last 15 years.
Yeah, for another avenue, for another nonprofit.
They reached out to me to come on this show and talk about the Abingdon Substance Awareness Coalition, and then when they decided they wanted to do the TV version, they knew Lisa was president of Abingdon Cam, and they reached out to us to see if we could do it there, and it's been a great partnership with these guys, and now we're premiering tonight on WATD.
Premiering tonight, let's tease it. Who do you got coming on tonight? Because that's the idea of having you guys here, is to kind of tease not only your debut, but the fantastic lineup.
Tonight we have Tim Cruz, the DA, from Plymouth County.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay, that guy. And and then we also have John Green and John Fanning.
Fanning,
yeah.
The state trooper.
State trooper who created an organization called No First Time, which is about prevention and education around substance abuse in the schools. So it's a program. John lost his child. John Green lost his child to an overdose, and they started this organization that tries to make an impact in the school systems. So,
yeah, they're good people. Like, you know, like you said, it's a little, you know, you get a little bit of different angles. You know, you get a parent that lost a child. You got a trooper.
That's a tough conversation,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, that's tough. And the trooper who's was his friends with him, but had addiction in his family and suffered through it through his whole life. So you got a lot of different aspects. And, you know, Tim Cruz is trying to do the best he can do to help, you know, help with this opiate crisis. And so we're all kind of pulling for the same thing. You know, we're all trying to help and provide a little bit of hope. And I think that's the biggest thing we can do. It's, you know, we're not going to fix everybody. You know, and it's impossible, but, you know, we can bring a little hope to some people and maybe, you know, get them started in the right direction. That's the biggest thing for us.
But you guys have a deep roster of folks that you're able to talk to, whether it's not just necessarily the folks here in the South Shore who provide treatment and assistance and conversation, but a lot of folks who have name recognition.
Sure. We've had Admiral Sandy Winnefield, Vice Joint Chiefs of Staff in the Obama administration. We've had Sam Quinones, who's the best-selling author of the book Dreamland. We've had Chris Nowinski from the Concussion Legacy Institute. You know, Senator Cindy Freeman, State Senator Cindy Freeman. So people are really receptive.
Mike Lindell, the MyPillow.
Yeah,
guy.
There you go.
Yeah,
he had a great story.
Yeah. He was great.
Brian Cuban.
I like stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us the story about
how it all happened. You know, he's out of Minnesota, and you know, his company started with him. They started like the home shop and something. The Minnesota people called him up. It was him and his two daughters, and he was struggling with addiction for a while. You know, and then you know, now today he's got 1,700 employees. He spends like $1.7 million a week on advertisement. Goodness. Company's worth I don't know what, but you know, it's just the story of, you know, how he was on his last shot. You know, he was down in the dumps, and he kind of come out of that. And you know, what he's doing today. You know, everybody knows about, you know, My Pillows. You know,
his drug dealer. Remember, his drug dealer cut him off because he wasn't getting enough sleep.
Yeah. That's when you know you're in trouble. When the drug dealer's like, he was up for 14 days.
Yeah, I have a pillow for you.
Yeah. That's trouble. You know, crazy.
But you know, Kevin, the show isn't. It's a dark subject, but it's not a dark show. We try to be entertaining.
Now, you guys really do a great from what I've been able to from the TV show, and knowing that it's evolving and that we're going to be, you know, there's going to be a radio show. I've seen what you've guys done so far, and it is a mix of great talent, some of the, you know, and it isn't just folks who are political figures. You got folks who are journalists. I think Dave Wedge was on recently.
Yep.
Great friend of the show.
Yeah.
I think he's a BC guy too.
Yeah, he's a BC guy.
I'm a BC guy.
But yeah, we have a wide variety of people on there, and we try to make it entertaining. But our ultimate message is, you know, we're here to help. And if you need help, you can reach out to us at powerforward25.com or the Abington Substance Awareness Coalition, and we can help you with your addiction, get you into a detox, get you into a treatment facility. But we try to do it in a way that it's not depressing.
Yeah, you guys have had musicians. Who was the band you recently just had on?
Oh, Selfish Steam. And they're a sober band. They're a band in recovery that they play gigs that are recovery events and things. And then they also go to schools as well
and speak like Kevin does.
Kevin
gets out and you get out and speak.
I think it's important that, you know, I think most of the biggest thing that we try is prevention. Is kind of what we do, you know, because, you know, once you get stuck and once you get into stuff, you know, you don't really, we try to keep people away from taking this stuff, because it's, you know, once you start, that's when the problem becomes a problem, you know. And if you can stay away from it, you don't need it, You know, we just try to, you know, provide people with, you know, different stories, different avenues, and way to get better. But you don't need this stuff. That's what we know. We all know that.
Again, make sure you tune in about a little more than an hour for Cross Check Radio, as I have here with me Alex Bezanson, Andy Bernstein, and two-time Stanley Cup champion Kevin Stevens, who will be on your radio dial, whether you listen in your car stereo, if you want to stream it, 959WATD.com. I'm just going to ask, throw a question out there, and you gentlemen can tell me one way or the other, in your personal opinion, knowing that this is something that has been ongoing for many years since it's been identified that there is a drug crisis, an opioid epidemic. Have we caught up to it? Have we turned a corner and helping folks, or are we still in pursuit?
Well, that was actually a subject of one of our recent shows, and the deaths from opioids have gone down in Plymouth County. I think that's a combination, and you know, Tim Cruz will talk more about this tonight, but I think it's a combination of all the police chiefs and cities and towns in Plymouth County, along with Narcan. I think it's all beginning to work. And like I said, Plymouth County, the deaths have been going down, and I think we're lucky because we have a group of people in Plymouth County that all want to work together. Nobody cares about political party or positions or anything like that. Everybody is working together.
Andy?
The Narcan is really, I think, the more education, the more accessibility to Narcan, I think, is really making a difference. In fact, the government actually, NIH, said that it was largely, the numbers are down because of Narcan. So that accessibility, I think, is making a difference. Although, we're nowhere, you know, there's still, you know, fentanyl and all these things still hitting the streets.
Yeah, that's becoming a game changer right now, is fentanyl.
Right.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And the fentanyl is a killer, so, you know, those are the things we really have to kind of, you know. And it all starts with prescription pills anyways, and everything starts with the prescription pills. You know, no one jumps in and says, I want to do a bunch of heroin tonight. Let's just go, you know. Usually starts with the pain pills, and it goes into the heroin. But like Alex said, we're all working in together. I don't think that was always the what we had going here, you know, in the Plymouth County, and now we got a lot of people pulling in the same direction. And I think, you know, it's always going to be an issue, and it's always because, you know, because people die, right? It kills people, and that's what we got to remember. This is a killer. Yeah, it's not something we can play around with. It's a killer, and you know what we can do is what we, you know, we all try to do is pull together and do the best we can, and let people know that there's help and there's ways out. You know.
Again, don't forget to tune in tonight, starting at 8 o'clock, Cross Check Radio. It's more than just talking about addiction, but also folks dealing with it, folks who are immersed in this, the education of it, and some of the multifaceted guests that you guys are going to be, your show is going to feature, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it really touches everybody in one form or another, and that's...
I don't think there's anybody who can actually honestly say that they haven't, that addiction hasn't somehow touched them. I don't think they can.
Yeah, addiction. Yeah,
I think we're at that point in our lives.
It affects so many different people. Like, it's, you know, it's not just the addict. You know, when the addict's using it, it affects all the family members. So, you know, then everybody's involved. Everybody gets touched. So it affects a lot of different people, no question.
Anything we want to say as we wrap up this fantastic segment?
Everybody listen, you know, we've got the best spot right after Kevin Tocci's Monday Night Talk.
I hope
talk.
I'm a decent lead-in.
I think perfect lead-in.
I mean, tonight you're going to have a premium lead-in with Joey Noon. Joey Voices. So that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, looking forward to it, yeah.
So definitely tune in. And again, knowing that you're planting the seed, this is your first radio show, and once we get the other two radio stations up and running, I'm looking at you, Mr. Harrington. Our general manager in the room, that'll be multiplied, right, by three, and then hopefully you can start sharing this with other radio stations down the road. Is that kind of the idea you're hoping?
Sure. Yeah. We want to go as big as we can.
You want to syndicate, I would think?
Expand the platform, yeah. How about that, Kev?
Yeah, just get out there and help. That's all we can do. A little bit of hope, right? Yeah.
So let's do this. We're going to all be tuned in at 8 o'clock. Gentlemen, you're welcome to hang around, especially during Joey Voice's segment coming up in about a half an hour. 7:30, we'll have him on to talk about his new book, Good Things Are Supposed to Happen to You. Anybody here read that book yet?
No.
You don't want to kind of give me a little bit of a preview?
I'm hoping Joey brings some tonight.
Is there an impression I should ask him to do?
Well, he does a pretty good share.
Does he really?
He really does.
Okay.
Michael McDonald. I've heard him.
He does Michael McDonald.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With Kenny Loggins or just by himself?
No, just
solo.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I have to think of some of the songs that I like from Michael McDonald.
Sweet Freedom.
Really?
He's not quite as good looking as Cher.
Andy's good. Yeah. Pulling it right out of his hat.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, good luck on your first show and hopefully the first of many shows here on 95.9 WATD.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Appreciate it.
You got it. And then hopefully the Bruins can rebound.
Yeah, next year. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Don't forget, 8 o'clock, Cross-Check Radio. We are going to step aside here. That's it for the first hour of Monday Night Talk. When we come back, hour number two, so we're going to talk a little bit about marijuana. What do you think as far as the state handling cannabis grow and manufacturing facilities? We're going to have a conversation coming up in just a few moments here on 95.9 WATD. I don't know why I said
the things I said. The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
Okay, we're back for hour number two. Wasn't that fantastic? Looking forward to tuning in at 8 o'clock with Kevin Stevens, Andy Bernstein, and Alex Bazanson, Cross-Check Radio. Go ahead, go make something eat. You can still tune in now, but be sure you tuned in at 8 o'clock for the debut of that program, Cross-Check Radio. Now, this is a conversation that we had talked about, I would say, 4 or 5 weeks ago. We had more of a group in the room, but what I had told Annette Bellinato, was that we were going to have a separate segmented conversation in regards to cannabis, grow facilities, manufacturing, concerns that you have, whether it's the handling of the state and some of the issues with it. I know that was something that Ann Hassel was talking about. Ann Hassel is here as well.
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Having you back. So, and what's interesting is we're actually on the cusp of an interesting conversation in your town, Annette.
Yes.
Where your governing board, the Board of Selectmen, are going to be discussing a little bit further and then taking a vote about a host community agreement.
That's correct. They are looking at signing an agreement with a company called Impressed LLC, who's had a few community outreach meetings with us, and we've asked them a lot of, I think, reasonable questions on how they're going to handle their water consumption, because as we pointed out in the last show, marijuana requires a lot of water to grow, and it's for their size facility, 1,600 gallons of water a day, and that's our drinking water. So that's a problem.
Is that your main concern? I mean, we have a half an hour to chat here. I want you each to kind of tell me your main concern in regards to marijuana, and whether it's the state oversight or as far as the licensing or even how it's being grown and manufactured. This is your opportunity to share with listeners your concerns. And maybe there are folks who are out there in higher place going, maybe we need to look at this. Ann?
Right. Well, Kevin, as you know, I was a Massachusetts medical marijuana dispensary bud tender for a year and a half. I had, loved marijuana for much of my life. Actually, I started, at the age of 16. And later on in my life, I actually grew it and was arrested for it in Virginia. So it was something I was quite passionate about. I always thought it could help people. I became a physical therapist, but I always thought this is a medicine to help people. And I went to go work in a dispensary. But what I learned is that health is not a concern whatsoever. It's all about profit. And the commercialized, industrialized marijuana industry is producing toxic and contaminated products without much oversight. I'd say no oversight from the state.
So you feel as though maybe it's premature that the state is allowing growth facilities the opportunity to distribute to retail outlets, whether it's here in the state or across the country, that maybe more, that needs to be more looked at before anything further, or is the cat already, or is it the horse already out of the
barn? Or is the genie out of the bottle, they like to say. I like to say, I always thought that marijuana was not addicting and not harmful. I thought that for over 30 years. I came to conclude that what the real truth is that marijuana is harmful and it is addicting. And it'd be one thing if the state set up so that public health was the primary policy, basing it on science, but they didn't. They went the route of having, again, addiction for profit industries setting up and running this show. And that's the problem I have with it. I personally had very, very serious physical and mental effects from this. And again, I was used to marijuana until I started consuming and dabbing the high potency THC. Woodstock weed, but in like the 1980s when I started, was probably 3-5%. Now they have cannabis concentrate that is over 90-98% THC. And THC on that level, people are not used to consuming it.
And so what's your concern? Is this something that could cause a medical issue across the Commonwealth for those who do consume marijuana?
People think it's harmless and that it's healthy, actually. It's a medicine. So the youth are getting that message. As the youth population perceives a decreased risk, the rate of drug consumption increases. So people are now consuming marijuana as their first drug. And I believe Annette has a statistic from, you're looking at people who moved on to opiates.
Yeah, that's right.
They started with marijuana. And I myself started with marijuana and went to other drugs.
So I believe this study was done in Massachusetts, Barnstable County in 2012, but I could be off a year or two.
Okay.
They asked the inmates at the Barnstable House of Corrections, they asked them certain questions and about their drug use, and 60% of the inmates do have mental health issues and substance abuse issues. And then they said the average age of their first use of any drugs was 14 years old, and that their first drug used was marijuana. So that's pretty
gateway drug.
That was,
they say it's a speedway drug, according to some of the people I've talked to in the research done. And again, that doesn't make me popular, what I'm saying, but it's the truth.
But are you where would you say you lie? Are you an opponent to the to marijuana now, or are you still somewhat a proponent? I'm asking you this, Ann. Or are you a proponent only if it's a homegrown and somebody is able to let it grow and it's not to the consistency or the potency that is being put forth?
There's so many interesting questions about it all, and I fluctuated. At first, I was just anti the corporate industrialized marijuana that harmed me, because again, I had heavy metal poisoning. I found a heavy metal and pesticide waiver the state issued. I also was having psychotic and suicidal thoughts from marijuana only. And I had consumed marijuana, and I was familiar with it, but again, I was dabbing it every day. It was a terrible effect on my brain. I then went to the point where I started to look into about what is marijuana, what is THC, tetrahydrocannabinol. Well, it turns out it's a neurotoxin. That's something I never had thought about. So people need to realize it's not just something that you should easily intake. I really would support it going through the FDA process, but that is complicated. I spent 10 hours. I spoke at the FDA, and I listened to what people said, and by and large, it's not regulated, and I think that if I would support it, if it was proven beyond a reasonable doubt through scientific study with RCTs, randomized controlled trials, that it in fact helped people. I think there's a lot of people try it. It's placebo, and it also makes them feel high, so people say, hey, it's working for me.
So where would you, all right, so where do you, is there a clear-cut side that you're on, or is the line blurred?
No, well, I'd say in terms of, this is what I'll say, I was arrested for marijuana and spent a month in jail and was facing 5 years, and that was traumatic for me at 20. I do not want people arrested for possession, small amounts, but there's one thing of going from there to a large, money-driven, commercialized, industrialized industry that has no heart. It's treacherous. It just wants people to be consuming more and more. It wants new users. And I did not sign up when I went into this industry, and it caused a wake-up call. So I don't know if that answers your question. I do not want people arrested and incarcerated for small amounts.
Well, you can, if you are one individual, you can grow 6 plants.
Right.
Okay, and but there's a protocol in order to do that. If you and your significant other want to grow plants, well, you can grow up to 12, right?
Yep.
Annette, where do you fall in on this? Are you staunchly opposed to it?
So, reading all the studies and the articles that have come out, especially in the last 5 years since Colorado and now California, Washington State, Oregon, and Massachusetts have legalized recreational marijuana, it's really opened my eyes to the horror stories that are out there. Marijuana doesn't seem to have the same effect on everybody, and it's startling when it has the negative side effects that it does have on some people, such that Anne had, and especially today's high potency version of marijuana. It's
kind of over the years since, I mean, I think if you ask somebody who might have used it in the 60s or the 70s, right, that it has progressively, people have experimented to get a better flower and get a better plant, where
you mean
the potency
is more potent. That's the whole game, because honestly, you had the cannabidiol, the CBD, and then you have the THC, which is a psychoactive effect. Well, what happened is, people are drawn to have the stronger effect. So it started off basically in Amsterdam, which, by the way, Amsterdam does not allow, which the epitome of drug usage or marijuana, does not want marijuana above 15% THC. It's considered a hard drug. So why in America are we selling stuff crystalline, 99.9% THC? There's no regard. As you increase and use those products, it increases your tolerance. You can't go back and smoke flower again, Kevin. I don't know if you've ever dabbed before, but
I don't even know what dabbed means.
That's when you have it's a rig. It's like a bong. Do you know what a bong is?
Yeah, I've seen a bong. I've seen Cheech and Chong.
It's a bong with a titanium nail or some other type of nail, and you take a tiny, tiny amount. It's called a dab, and you use a butane torch, which should have given me a clue not to go there, and you heat that nail, and then you dab it. Again, it's flooding, going across your blood-brain barrier very rapidly. And if you've never, what happened for me is I had not had that feeling of ever being high since I was 16. And all of a sudden, whammo, it even went beyond that. And the reason I went to the concentrates is that I saw moldy marijuana in the dispensary. I saw moldy marijuana trimming it in the cultivation center. And I knew they were blasting it and saying it was okay to make it into concentrate. So I'm ashamed to say, went to concentrate because I thought it would be healthier, which it just really was very destructive. That was actually you know, what happened.
Okay.
So to give, yeah, maybe to put it in perspective, one, I guess, hit off of a vape cartridge is equivalent to 50?
Yeah, that's like that's the new thing now, is that yeah. you can vape marijuana.
Yeah.
That's because it's stealth-like. Now students now have stealth. Look up on the internet, stealth vaping. And you can buy a sweatshirt that has a little pull tie, and that has a way to vaporize. Children are vaporizing now in the classroom. Whereas when I went to school, maybe people did in the bathroom and would try and get away with it. But now you don't even have to be in the bathroom. You can be in your seat in a classroom. I think that's scary, Kevin. I don't think that the people of Massachusetts thought that this is what would be happening. We're having like Maura Healey's cracking down on the e-cigarettes, on all the flavors. How come we have flavored THC concentrate cartridges that are available, and those are getting into children's hands?
Let me throw this question out at you. This from a listener: legal marijuana is limited to people who are 21 and over. Are you saying that marijuana use for adults is worse than alcohol use for adults? Would you say that's true or false?
Well, yeah, I would say marijuana, today's high potency THC, is worse for adults and children, obviously. Than alcohol, and they've proven that the mental health issues, the science behind it in Europe, because they've had it legal longer than us, has the studies. I mentioned this the last time. Lancet Medical Journal, a prestigious medical journal, proved that if you're a daily consumer of high potency THC products, you're 5 to 7 times more likely to have a mental health issue such as depression, psychosis, or schizophrenia. That you don't hear much about with alcohol, and those statistics are not the same.
We're speaking with Annette Beninato and Ann Hassel, and they're here. We're talking a little bit about the negative effects of marijuana, the marijuana that's being produced, cultivated legally by companies that are looking to descend upon Massachusetts and find a community to settle into, set up shop, grow, manufacture, and go from there. There are some communities, like I think the town of Hanson, I think the neighboring town of Whitman also.
Whitman banned.
Well, they banned retail.
They banned everything.
I don't think they banned everything. I think you're incorrect. Huh. And I'm not. And not to
well,
say.
Well, I've done my research. And
I'm pretty sure because yeah, actually they not too long ago the Board of Selectmen had actually allowed medical marijuana. I think the only thing that they allowed was they banned. It was a bylaw that they passed. I covered as a reporter was for retail. I think that there's still. Can be. And I'll double check on that.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong,
okay.
I will make sure I come on and say what I said to Annette that day is incorrect. Almost like the newspaper.
Right.
It'll be somewhere on page 14.
A retraction, right?
There'll be a retraction that I'll verbally say that I'm incorrect. But I'm pretty sure that you can, because there is, again, medical marijuana
medical
is allowed.
Medical is a separate law.
I know it's a separate, but I know that they did two town meetings in Whitman, and what it was, I think, strictly was in regards to retail. I don't think grow or manufacturing were in part of that conversation, but I'll double check.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back. If we have to have you come back and go, what are you going to do? So what are your concerns about tomorrow night? Do you think that this is something that is a done deal? Do you think that this Impressed LLC are going to be able to get that host community agreement? I know you're one of many residents who have voiced their concerns. You've shown up at the meetings, the community meetings that have been held and been vocal.
Right. Unfortunately, there wasn't a meaningful community meeting between the Board of Selectmen in Hanson and the residents.
Define meaningful.
I mean, we've had the required outreach meetings between Impressed LLC and the residents, but there weren't any Board of Selectmen at those meetings. So unfortunately, we didn't have a long question and answering session between all three groups, and the only questions we were allowed to ask was at the last Board of Selectmen meeting, which was, I believe, last week. I've lost track of time, but anyhow, it was...
Time has flown, and there have been multiple meetings, so it's understandable if they seem like they're all blending together.
Yeah, and so anyhow, we were limited to what we could ask that night. We were limited on time, and I think it's a very important discussion, and especially where we banned, we prohibited the recreational retailers in town, so...
Was there a bit of confusion that there was a thought there was like that the town meeting was kind of an umbrella effect where it would encompass not only retail but anybody who wanted to come into town trying to do anything that in regards to marijuana, let's grow, manufacture?
Exactly. So last summer, I had asked if we were going to have some kind of community outreach meeting as well to cover this so voters would know what they were voting on in the fall. And, you know, so we could have different subject matter experts like neurologists and first responders and ER doctors and police chiefs at this community outreach forum to educate people on the harms of marijuana and to educate what we were actually voting on. But that never happened, unfortunately. And so we didn't have that dialogue, and then voters were confused as to what we were actually voting to prohibit last fall, and they thought it was everything. They thought when we voted against retailers, we were voting against cultivators and manufacturing and testing and cafes.
Has this role, I'm asking you, both of you, do you feel that the rollout of this since the vote was taken in 2016, that it hasn't been as clear as it should be, that maybe it's been rolled out too fast? Do you feel that maybe there should be some changes made legislatively?
I think there should. Unfortunately, people from Colorado, these are out-of-state people, Kevin. Everyone assumed, the people opening up these businesses will be Massachusetts people. You can look back at 2014 when the licenses were first given for medical. It was, in fact, out-of-state interest. It's always the most money who wins, Kevin, unfortunately. And
what happened? I hate to say it, but that's today's...
It is. It was a wake-up call.
I guess the culture is.
Not, money doesn't make the world go round. It might be pot now. So what I'm trying to say is that the Colorado people and other forces learned from their mistakes, and they were trying to get as many communities as possible. There's a reason why 60% of California cities and towns have banned marijuana. They don't want it. So they're trying to make it hard to opt out. But I think, according to Annette, that process changed with Governor Baker.
Right. So Governor Baker passed a law back in July 2017 that allowed all communities in Massachusetts to opt out of recreational marijuana businesses. And so if your community...
Well, did he pass a law, or was it your state legislators and he signed the bill into law?
Well, he signed the bill into law.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want to make sure I'm clear.
Yeah,
on
yeah. No, you're... So anyhow, if your community is... if you're unhappy right now in a community that has allowed recreational marijuana businesses in your town, well, you can always, we have that right as American citizens to appeal, and you can always start a petition and get a question on your town, at your town meeting, whether to prohibit these types of businesses in your town.
You can get help. Help is there. You contact mapreventionalliance.org, and they can. You can contact someone, and they'll help you. Help is available. Communities have the right to decide what they want.
So I'm going to ask you this. Do you think there should be a renewed effort to recall the legalization of pot, or do you think that, again, the genie, as you said, Ian, is
yes,
on the bottom?
I would say yes, only because it is harmful and addicting. I didn't know that. It was run out, it was put out in a terrible manner. I'd say it was done poorly. It's done poorly. It's being dictated to by the power and the money. And so, yes, I would say yes. I would say yes, we have to stop it, but I don't think we can. It's like, again, that genie's out of the bottle.
Annette?
Yeah, I would agree with what Ian said. And then, you know, if we can't stop it completely, then we need to minimize the damage. And that means passing new laws restricting potencies.
But is that something that the Cannabis Control Commission, the state's board that's governing marijuana, whether it's retail or growing or manufacturing, isn't that something that maybe they could be petitioned about that?
That's a good point. I just wonder why they didn't have a limit at the very start, Kevin. They just said cannabis. So cannabis includes all cannabis. It can be 100% THC. Mm. It doesn't matter because, hey, and I think the Cannabis Commission has its own agenda. Mm. Everyone has an agenda in this whole thing.
But I liken this, again, marijuana and its legalization is in its infancy. And Massachusetts is one of just a handful of states that has legalized it. You look like computer software. I know I'm dating myself here, right? Usually the first couple of versions, there's a bug, there's something wrong, right? Don't you usually get in your apps, you get updates, right? Version 5, version 6. We get those versions because it's for the betterment of it. Is it possible that it's going to take a few more versions to upgrade the legislation when it comes to marijuana, whether it's for retail or to be able to grow, needs to be revamped and needs a new version? Is that possible?
It's so hard when you have, again, a billion-dollar industry that continues to get more and more powerful and have all these lobbyists. Mm. I'm just a person who's just a physical therapist who just cares about people. That's my only skin in the game. I'm not getting paid to do this. I drove 2 hours one way yet again to do this. And what I'm saying is not popular.
Where did you drive
here from? From Chicopee.
Thank you.
It's not popular. And I do it because it's the right thing to do, Kevin. And it's hard at times, but I keep thinking about how people are being harmed and the youth. The suicide rate's increasing for adolescents in Colorado. There's a correlation between actually marijuana and anxiety and depression. I know people say it helps their anxiety and depression, but actual studies, and these studies are not very popular.
How about CBD? That's kind of like the popular thing now. Isn't that a part of this, like a product?
It's a cannabinoid. It's a part of the one of the many cannabinoids in the plant. Cannabidiol is a non-psychoactive. It's interesting. If marijuana isn't a problem, then why do you have a company creating a come-down-from-the-high drug with CBD?
I thought CBD was something like if you got like it helps you in certain aspects. If you get aches, or you got alertness. That it has certain.
Medicinal properties.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, there's Epidiolex. The FDA recognized Epidiolex is CBD, but you have to realize for Epidiolex, there are, in fact, a lot of warnings about damage to your liver. In terms of CBD, if people are on blood thinners like Coumadin and Warfarin, that's really bad because it increases your PT, INR, which is your bleeding rate. People don't realize. They're just taking stuff from the gas station. They're getting it from the yoga studio. They're not understanding that only 30%...
Wait, the yoga studio sells this?
Everyone sells it. Gas station, yoga studio,
supermarkets,
cafes. They don't realize that only 30% of CBD products tested are accurate for the label.
And keep in mind, 50% of CBD products come from China. And China...
Well, isn't there a new report out where you got to watch out for tariff? Is the tariff tampering where, these little stickers where it might say made in China might now say made in the Philippines or made in another country? Mm. That's kind of a big thing.
Yeah. Well, I want to remind people that the hemp plant, which is where a lot of the CBD is coming from, because you can also have CBD in the marijuana plant, is a bioremediator. That means it was planted at Chernobyl to, in fact, leach out the heavy metals and contaminants. Well, people got to be wary and can't assume that what they are ingesting is safe. And I'm really worried again about how, again, it's a big industry out of control. And the big push down at the FDA was we need to make this money as fast as possible. Not, wow, we really need to take a step back and have some trials done because the industry doesn't really want that.
Ian, why don't you tell the story about your friend who's a recovered heroin addict?
Well, I've talked to many people who are heroin addicts and they told me, there's a girl I work with at the dispensary. She told me she was a heroin addict. And when she started consuming the high-potency THC products, she had quit heroin. She told me she wanted to go back to it. And all the people I've talked to, because I go to recovery meetings now, tell me that, in fact, marijuana is what they started with and what got them on to opiates. So look at our nation, Kevin. You just had some guests talking about this terrible drug crisis. I don't think that having another drug is going to help.
Cross-check radio, 8 o'clock. You should tune in. Actually, the host's right in the next room.
Oh, wow.
Kevin Stevens won 2 Stanley Cups. Andy Bernstein and Alex Bazanza also.
Awesome.
Alex, of course, part of the HUG Foundation. You know what HUG stands for?
No, I don't.
Help us give.
Well,
there'll be a test later. we're wrapping up here. I want to thank Ann and Annette for coming in. Do you feel as though you were able to at least get more information across this
I'm
time?
I'm so happy, Kevin, because I...
Because last time you walked out of here with... I could see the frustration on your face. And I'm like, again, the whole idea was to have a well-rounded... I'd like to have those conversations and have everybody at the table to talk. But I had also talked with Annette and said, yeah, we'll have a separate conversation because there are people who are concerned about this.
Well, I thank you because I struggled for 2 years. No one would listen. And I give thanks to people like you. You're not the biggest radio station, WATD, but it means a lot to me that you're willing to have
me. If you've not seen all the awards down in the... If you've not seen all... I will escort you. I think Christine James might be here. We will walk you around the station. But don't tell us we're not the biggest station.
And if just one if one person out there maybe thinks that they have a problem when they are using marijuana, maybe that they can understand that what they're feeling is something they should think about because no one wants to talk about it.
We are an award-winning radio station. Look at the awards on these walls, okay? There's some back behind me. RTDNA, Tomorrow. Have you ever seen Tomorrow up close?
No, I don't live anywhere near here.
I rest my case, Your Honor. I want to thank you both. I want to thank you for coming down from
Well, thank you so much. You're welcome.
And it'll be interesting to... Are you going to be in attendance tomorrow night at the Hanson Board of Selectmen's meeting? You and your husband?
I hope to be, yes.
Okay. Anything you want to say quickly in closing?
I would say I already gave you the mapreventionalliance.org. Also, you can look into momsstrong.org. I'm not the only one who had a really bad effect from marijuana. And again, people... like to think it's not serious. It's like a second-class addiction, but it is real, and it is very terrible. I almost ended my life, Kevin. So I'd like to tell people there's hope. Just try and not use it and get some help.
That is Ann Hassel, Annette Benedetto.
Benedetto. Yep.
Anything you want to say quickly in closing?
Just reminding people that if they live in a community that has recreational marijuana stores and they want to prohibit, there's always that option in the future, so you can reach out to your Board of Selectmen and find out how to do that.
And again, make sure you tune in at 8 o'clock. These fantastic guys who are going to be going on air talking about addiction, Cross-Check Radio, starting at 8 o'clock. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
Coming up next, we get Joey Noon. Joey Voices in the house. Joey drove down here from Malden.
Oh, wow.
So maybe you two can Carl pull back. But stay tuned for more Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
Crosscheck's radio mission is to end the stigma of substance abuse through media, outreach, and awareness. Each week, Kevin Stevens and Andy Bernstein will address the issues surrounding the topic of addiction and substance abuse with relevant content, celebrity and notable guests, and useful information. Tune in to Crosscheck Radio, sponsored by BTA Building and Remodeling, tonight at 8, here on 95.9 WATD.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. People ask me, is there anything they can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
Is there anything I can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
See? There is. Those big gravel trucks, when they're being loaded, rocks get stuck in the framework of the bed. Truck hits a bump, rock hits your windshield. It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right. Hey, we're back. Wow, this has been a fantastic show. I want to thank Annette and Ann. And Joey, I don't know if you know this, but Ann drove all the way down here from Chicopee.
Oh, good for her.
I told her.
That's
413.
That's 413.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's up by Springfield.
That voice. It's a guy who's got, oh my God, you have so many titles.
Yeah, well, I naturally sound like Joe Pesci. Everybody tells me. It's funny how? Huh? Funny how? Huh? I mean, funny way I talk.
He's
funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
He's a comedian, an impressionist, a radio personality.
Yes, yes. In fact, I was going to, well, yeah, I was on 1510 back in 2015, and it's in the book. It's all in the book.
It's all in the book.
All in the bio.
And Joey Noon is here to talk to us about his new book. He's an author.
Yes.
Damn you, he's an author.
I finally got my first one. I've already written 5 books. I've already finally got my first one published.
Good things.
My second one's right behind it, so.
Good things
third one.
Are supposed to happen to you. Are they?
Do you believe that?
I do.
Good, I'm glad. Because you know there's a lot of people out there that don't.
Listen,
that
I know,
don't believe that.
Listen, I know good things that happened to you. You got Rico Petrocelli who wrote you forward.
He's a great guy.
How did that happen?
He's a sweetheart. I met him at the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame. It's all in his foreword. He wrote the foreword. And I'm a Christian. I'm a theological seminary graduate.
Oh, no kidding.
I was going to be a minister, but I loved performing, and I would have had to give that up to become a full-time minister. So I just finished with my seminary 7 years. I got a master's degree, and I continued on performing. But then I started studying quantum physics, the philosophy of quantum physics, quantum entanglement, which is basically the law of attraction.
Dude, you're like talking over my pay grade here.
Yeah, law of attraction.
Yeah, talking simple terms.
That's what that is, yes.
But use your hands a lot, too.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for radio, though.
But law of attraction, this book is about the law of attraction, what it is, more importantly, what it is not, but it also is about the human mind, how to reprogram it to work for you and not against you. And it goes into detail about how your subconscious mind really controls everything in your life. It controls your decisions. It controls what you attract into your orbit, the type of people, because you attract what you are.
That's true.
And
absolutely true.
All we are.
And I'm not saying it because you're here,
no,
Joe.
I know that. I know that. When we reach the age of accountability, we're basically the sum total of other people's beliefs and thoughts, because they've imprinted them on our minds, our parents.
Sure.
Now, the good news about that is 95%, they say 90%, I say 95%, that's what I believe, is reprogrammable or malleable. You can change it by habit. And repetition is the price of learning and remembering. So the more you go over something, the more of it you're going to catch and remember. I'll give you a perfect example. When you're listening to somebody speak, and he says something that triggers something in your mind, a thought, and you go off on that thought for a couple of minutes while he's still speaking, you're missing everything he's saying while your mind is going off into that direction. And so you come back and you pick up where he is at that point. You go back and you see him speak again, or if it's a tape that you're listening to, you go back and listen to that tape again. You're going to end up picking up the parts that you missed when you were daydreaming off by some of the things that triggered memories to make you do that. So that shows you, the book teaches you how to reprogram your mind, and that repetition is the price of learning. It's a really good read. It's a simple read. And I'm grateful that I've gained the knowledge to be able to write it. Now, what really got me into studying this was that I saw the parallels between what the law of attraction taught and the principles that Jesus taught in theology. Now, a lot of quantum physicists come at quantum physics or the law of attraction from a strictly scientific standpoint. I'm coming at it from a theological standpoint. So I'm seeing things that they would never see because they don't have the educational background that I have in theology. And so when I started studying, I'm going, gee, wow. I go, that's what Jesus taught. Wow. And I started seeing the parallels. And I says, I got to write a book. I gotta.
But you said it at the beginning of your introduction that, you know, you've 5 books, but you finally got one. You've got
finally got one published.
One published.
Well, the first.
What did it take for you to finally sit down? Because you know it's not an easy process.
It's not easy, no. But I know exactly what to do moving here forward, and publishing the rest of them, which is going to cut my time in half, if not more, because it's a learning process. You have to learn about editing. Yeah, and you get really good at English. I would suggest you be pretty good at it to begin with if you're going to write. I mean, it's, you know, I was pretty good at it, thankfully. But I learned so much grammatically, how to format things. I learned a lot. And you know who taught me a lot? Bob Hilberg. One of the principles Bobby taught me, because Bobby is an incredible writer. And Bobby
you
said to me...
Total Patriots.
Absolutely. And he contributed to this book.
So did he
Bobby,
really?
Yep. So Bobby said to me, Joe, I want you to just remember one thing when you're writing. Every thought deserves its own sentence. Don't overuse commas, because the way the human mind works, when you write down a thought and someone's reading one of your thoughts, you want to give them a chance to stop for a moment and think about what you just read before they read on. If you put in a comma, they're not going to have a chance to do that, because they think it's the thought isn't finished yet. So every thought deserves its own sentence, which is brilliant. It's simple, but it's such a brilliant principle to learn when becoming a writer. Now, how did I... You asked me the question, how did I come about writing?
Because, you know, I'd love to... I've written 16 books in my head.
Yeah.
I just haven't... I haven't gotten and put it on a Word doc and made that Word doc multiple pages.
Whenever I do something, I do it obsessively. I dive right in and I do it until it's finished. Mm. Until I can't. Like, you have to be like that in life in order to get anything done.
You're right. Because I got a deck that's still waiting to be stained. I did my back stairs.
Yeah.
And ask my missus. She'll tell you. Like, I did the railings. I still got to do the deck.
And you can't be wishy-washy. And that's what you're doing. You got to go and finish the deck.
100-degree days will do that to you,
absolutely,
too,
of course. Yeah, yeah. Barring unforeseen events, right?
Right. Exactly. So, but no, please continue.
So, I didn't know how to write a book. I didn't know what I was going to do. I remember sitting at my chair saying, how the heck am I going to do this? There's nobody that's going to be able to teach me. It's everybody I didn't really know anyone other than Bobby that had written one. And Bobby really didn't know what to say as far as how to write it. He goes, Joe, you got to just figure it out. Just write your thoughts down and just figure it out. And so I started looking at some books and looking at the formats of some books. I said, okay, I can see how this is. If I can just put these formats down and maybe... So I started just write. And as I started writing, I said, okay, now seems like a pretty good place to start a second chapter. A new thought, a new story. And then I started with chapter 2, which was the Michael chapter. Okay, perfect. So I started writing the Michael chapter. I got finished with the Michael story. I started writing the story about my brother David, how he got saved and how he's a minister now. And he was almost going to die because of drugs and a whole nother path that I thought, I was going to go to this kid's funeral. And now he's a Christian, he's a minister, and his life is awesome. And it's a miracle that he's alive, the kid.
Well, let's not forget chapter 4. You got one of the most prolific, probably the most memorable sports highlights, other than the 2-point kick that he did for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Doug Flutie.
Yeah. This is a great chapter. This chapter, I love this chapter. I love this chapter because it really goes into what you would think is ESP, but there's a scientific explanation to ESP. And when you read the book, you can get it at joeyvoices.com. I'll send you out an autographed copy. It's 1995 or 1999, I forget. It's on the website.
Okay.
But joeyvoices.com.
Okay.
And I'll sign an autographed copy to you, and I'll send it out to you, and you get a free ebook with that. And once the audiobook is done, I'm going to sell that for $10. So
you got to put it on Audible?
I'm going to put it on Audible. I'm going to do that.
I'm an audio guy.
I'm going to do that. Absolutely.
I'll tell you one of my other favorite local authors, Casey Sherman and Dave Wedge.
I love Casey. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I got two of their books on here. I got the Tom Brady book.
Yeah. I want to see that movie. Who did he cast?
I forget.
Was
you'd have to catch me flat-footed here.
Okay. he's one talented guy.
Yeah.
Casey Sherman.
Casey. We've had Casey. We're gonna get you in here as much as we've had Casey in here.
Absolutely. Maybe we'll get us down here. That'd be great, too.
You're talking a little bit about the Flutie chapter. Flutie Physics, chapter 4.
Yes, Flutie Physics. So I'll just tell the quick story. And I won't go any deeper into the chapter, but I'm sitting at my desk one time. It was back probably like 2007, 2008. And I all of a sudden, Doug Flutie's name pops into my head. And I hadn't heard his name or seen him in the news at all in like a long time. And his name just popped into my head out of nowhere. A minute later, my phone rings. I answer the phone. I says, hello, Joey Voices. The guy says, hey, how are you? He says, my name is so-and-so, and I'm calling from a specific autistic foundation, but he didn't mention anything about Flutie. And I didn't know anything about Flutie's Autism Foundation at that time. But when he said Autism Foundation, I knew the Flutie had an autistic kid. And I just, on a hunch, I said, let me guess, Doug Flutie? He goes, yeah, how did you know? I said, don't worry, but I got just a lucky guess. I said, how can I help you? And he goes, well, we're having a fundraiser, and we wanted you to donate some tickets to your show, and we could raffle them off. I said, absolutely. I took his name and number down. I mailed him out two pairs of tickets. But I sat at my desk for the next half an hour, dumbfounded about how that happened. How did that happen? How did that just happen? How did his name pop into my head before the phone rang? I couldn't figure it out. And it happened to me a couple more times after that. And I couldn't figure out why, but the book explains that. I really don't want to go into everything and give the book away, but I want people to read it. Because when they read it, I go in and I kind of expound on it.
I mean, you got some interesting chapters here.
Yeah, very
interesting. And again, I'm trying to whet people's appetite.
Yeah.
Chapter seven.
Yeah.
You were once dead.
Yeah, you were once dead before you were ever born, before you were ever conscious.
That's a profound
And it explains it. And there's another chapter in there called Hitler Got Away With It. That's a very provocative chapter title. But I'm not going to tell anybody about it. I want them to read it.
You got to read it.
It's a really good book. It makes you think. It makes you really go deep into your mind. And you have to think. This book is for thinkers.
Have you thought beyond the book? And when I ask you, when you're thinking about beyond the book,
yeah,
have you thought about something that about maybe doing, like getting up on stage and helping to inspire? No, I'm not kidding here.
To inspire
other people.
Because
one of the things that you have here that's a caveat. Seven steps to achieve any goal.
Yes, I also wrote the curriculum. My mind is drawing a blank right now. It'll come to me in a minute.
It's a hell of a drive.
But good, the seven steps to achieve any goal is a really good supplemental chapter at the end, and it really goes in and teaches you the spiritual person how to, you know, it takes stick-to-itiveness is really what it comes down to, repetitiveness. In other words, let me give you an example, just without having to really dive into it. If you're hungry and you're standing in line and the line is 2 miles long, but you know there's food up ahead, even though you can't see the front of the line, you're trusting that there's a front of the line with food.
Right.
Why? Because everybody is standing behind another person.
Yeah, there's a purpose to that line.
And so if you just don't step out of line, eventually, inch by inch, you'll get to the front of the line and you'll get fed. Well, that's the same thing with goal achieving. I can't put it any simpler for people. So many people give up on their dreams and goals in this country that are born here. When there's people in other countries
that would die to be here.
They give their right hand to come here to achieve their goal. Now, they don't have the opportunity that we have. Right. Why is it that so many people, when the going gets tough, they just give up? Ah, the odds are against me. Why? I don't understand it. Just stick to it. If you really want it, stick to it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And I'll tell you why.
We're spoiled.
The guy that you're looking at, you're sitting across from,
mm-hmm.
Just 6.5 months ago, I was close to 300 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. I look at the mirror and say the same thing.
I would never be able to.
But you got to have, you got to set goals. You got to have, so what you're saying
is stick-to-itiveness.
Stick-to-itiveness.
Yep, dedication.
And
you got to really want it.
And you know what? It's one of those things where slowly, not trying to lose 10 mm-hmm. pounds at a whack, but
yep.
a couple of pounds here, a couple of pounds there, watching what you eat.
That's right.
You know what? Taking care of your body.
And it's a chance to enjoy it.
Right.
You got to learn to enjoy the process. Because
right.
I'm going to tell you something. I say this in the book. It's not the goal itself. Most of the time, what's more important is who you become in the process mm-hmm. of achieving that goal that makes achieving it that much sweeter. So if you achieved it right away immediately, there'd be nothing to look back on and go, wow, everything that I've been through that would bring you to tears of joy and tears of, wow, I finally did it. You see what I'm saying?
Like a kid when you're saving all your quarters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because there's something you saw in the store window.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you know what? I keep saving, and eventually,
yeah.
when I get that $7, I'm gonna buy that BB gun.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
that's right.
Oh, of course, the punishment that I got after knocking out the neighbor's window was
that was you,
but it was worth it. It was. Well, I'm kidding. But again, the idea is you're
absolutely
right, is it's that time and making it worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
To save
100%. And It's a great read. This book, because I'm a Christian, the book isn't just written for Christians. And I say that in the book. I explain that. This book isn't just written for Christians. It's also written for anybody who would choose another path. Because let's face it, you have freedom of conscience in this country. Now, you know, the principles I lay out in this book, if anybody will follow these principles, these life principles, they will live a blessed life. Why? Because the law of sowing and reaping says you're going to do that, and God is not a liar. When you plant corn, you don't get cucumbers, you get corn. It's that simple. So you reap more than you sow. You reap what you sow, more than you sow, later than you sow. Now, when you plant one seed of corn, do you just get one ear of corn?
Yeah, you get a couple.
You get a bunch, a whole bunch. So you reap more than you sow. So when you do something bad to somebody, that's going to come back on you seven times or more than what you did to that person because of the law of sowing and reaping.
Right.
Very powerful principle that most people or a lot of people overlook.
Yeah, we're speaking with Joey Noon, Joey Voices, talking about his new book, Good Things Are Supposed to Happen to Y-O-U-U.
Right.
So I got to ask you, talking about reaping what you said, talking about, you know, what was it like when you had that finished copy in your hand? You had that the first set of prints.
Thinking about what that was going to feel like, and I made a video of it. My fiance made a video of it, and it's up on my Facebook. And I said, you know, and now she's been through a lot because in order to write, you have to recluse, and it means less time for your family. Because you have to take time when you have inspired thought. Before you lose that thought, you have to just step aside, pull an Irish goodbye, and start writing. And because you're inspired to write, and a lot of times, a lot of people don't understand that.
Did you find yourself in inopportune times?
Like a lot of times,
I got to jot this down.
Yeah.
You wake up in the middle of the night. You're
yes.
Right there.
Okay. Yes. And the thing about it is, when I write, I continue to write because one thought begets another thought. And I just continue, and I can go for hours, and the time passes, and I can look at the clock. I can start at noon time, and next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock, and I go, where did the time go? What the heck happened? Because I'm so caught up in the writing process, but this is my life purpose, which is to add value to the world. And the thing about it is, if you find your purpose in life, which I guarantee you, it's to add value to the world. It's the nucleus of all life purpose is service to others. So if you have something you can share with people in a book or however you can add value to the world, do it. Because I'm going to tell you something. At every stage of your life, you're always going to have a purpose for getting out of bed. You know, it isn't just if you have, I got my grandkids. That's a purpose I can get up and do. That's great and that's fine. But if you might have a talent that you're overlooking or missing that can add value in a mighty way to a lot of people. Don't overlook that. Don't brush that aside. Utilize it. Because I'm doing that. And I've sacrificed a lot to do it. Because I know that the end result is going to be a bountiful harvest. Because I'm going to be helping a lot of people in a spiritual way. And helping them to better their lives. Because there's so many people that have negative thinking. More people than you can than you realize, because they just are programmed that way. Whether it be maybe they had negative parents, or maybe they just watch the news too much, or maybe they hang around with other negative people that are just infecting them, and vice versa. And it's just a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
You got to break that cycle by stepping away and getting new friends. My father always used to say to me, "If you want to be positive, you got to have positive friends." If you want to have great success, you got to hang around with greatly successful people.
You have naysayers or people saying that it can't be done. Well, guess what? You're gonna follow that mindset.
That's right. My father used to say, if you want to catch big fish, you got to sail where the water's deep. And he used to also say, if you look around the room and you find you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. If you want to be smart, you're getting around people smarter than you.
My father said that to me once, too.
Isn't that funny? That's a great saying, but it's funny. But
he said
so
it was
true.
Like an old country. He said it was from the old country. Yeah. You know?
Old school, and let me tell you, that old school wisdom, you know, we're the only ones left that can pass that on.
Mm.
And if I can pass that on through my books and help, you know, multiple people in that way, I want to do that. And so I'm going to continue to write as this is my calling in life right here. This, I love performing, and that's my calling, but this right here gives me more fulfillment than anything else.
Okay.
Yeah, I took my knowledge in theology And it's, I'm taking my knowledge of the, my research in quantum entanglement, and I explain what quantum entanglement is in the book, the philosophy of it.
Sure.
And I break it down so the average person can understand it. It's not mathematics. It's not something that's... Don't let the term scare you. It's, you know, you'll understand.
You saw the look on my face, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. But it's
What's the feedback you've been getting on this?
A lot of people say. All I got to do is read the foreword from Rico Petrocelli, and a lot of the,
I love Rico.
In the back of the book, there's a lot of reviews.
One of my favorite infielders.
You know Dave Chiazzo? Davey Kies, yeah. Baseball scout?
Yeah.
He wrote a review of my book.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's in the back. It's right in the back of the book.
I'll read it when I get off there.
A lot of good reviews in that book, you know? So there's your feedback. That's why I took the reviews. He says, I want those reviews because I knew that question would come up. What's the feedback? And right off the bat, all you can do is look at the reviews. You'll see the feedback from notable names and other authors.
Strictly on your website, or are you going to look to try to get it in
bookstores?
I'm going to
have it. It'll be on Amazon. It'll be on Barnes & Noble. Okay. But if you want an autographed copy,
are we going to have, like, you know, Joey Noon signings?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm going to... Now, Phil Castagnetti is a very good friend of mine. He owns Sports World in Saugus.
Yep.
All the sports memorabilia.
Sure.
And he wants to do a book signing with me and Rico. So if Rico would be so kind to do that, I'd be grateful. Rico loved the book because Rico's a Christian. And Rico's been through some hardships in his life where he really had to rely on his faith to get through it with his family. So when he read the
book, that's all you have.
Yeah. When he read the book, it really touched him, and it really struck a nerve with him, and he loved it. So all you do is read the review on that. That review's on my website, by the way.
Website is?
JoeyVoices.com.
How's that? You got any shows coming up in the area?
We don't have anything booked yet for the fall, but I got a bunch of private ones and corporate ones coming up.
See, you know what?
Down here on the South Shore, I just booked one at the Florian Hall in Dorchester, August 24th. It's a big fundraiser they're having for recovery, AA recovery. And it's going to be
recovery night here.
Yeah, it's going to be August 24th. And if you go to my website, the flyer's up on the website, and people can get tickets by calling the phone number on the flyer.
And it's worth noting that you're also going to be appearing soon on Crosscheck Radio.
I am going to be on there, yes.
You and Big Kevin.
Yeah, and you're filling up for Kevin.
I think I'm going to, you know what, helping Andy out with the host.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's like I've kind of got like a little bit of an insight into it, so I can ask better questions.
Well, read the book, read that.
And
so next time when I come on...
But I was going to ask you, as far as who are some of the guys that you've been performing with? Because I was going to ask, who does it better, De Niro, or Dave Russo?
I don't know. I'm going to do my De Niro for you right now. You ready? Here we go. Robert De Niro.
Is this going to work on radio, though?
It's going to work on radio. Here we go. Robert De Niro buying ice cream from Louis the Ice Cream Man. You ready? Here we go.
Here we go.
Hey, Louis. Better have my ice cream, Louis. I'm going to break your legs. I will put them back together. I will break them again. You hear me? You always tease me with the Italian ice. Italian ice. You know, I like the Italian ice, but you know what I really like? Huh? I like the cannonball. You know why? I got the little bitty gumballs at the bottom. A little bit. Thank you.
See, we're going to have a De Niro off. What do you think?
Russo is the best. Russo taught me how to do it. Now, Russo's been my friend since we were little kids. So when I started performing, Russo... I knew that I could do the De Niro because you got the De Niro face. He goes, let me show you how I learned it. And he learned it from Bob Cottrell. And Bob Cottrell taught him to do the face. And he goes, just say the word mint, but don't say it. Just mouth it. So he's like, mint, 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 mint.
See, that's the key.
That's the key, mint, mint. So that's how we did it. Russo taught me how to do it. It was great.
My God.
But yeah, Russo's been a big instrumental force in my career early on, and we work together a couple times a year. Dave's like a brother to me. And we don't work together more often because my show isn't really a stand-up show. It's kind of a Vegas act, so it doesn't really...
It's different.
When he's putting together a strictly comedy show, it's not going to fit with that.
Right.
But when I'm doing a show and I need to open a comic, it fits perfect, you know, so... But we work together a few times a year.
And if folks want to find out some of the performances you got coming up, Joey Voices.
They go to joeyvoices.com. And if anybody wants to hire Joey Voices for a fundraiser or if they're looking for something different, this show is definitely different. You can go see my videos at joeyvoices.com. I'm all over YouTube. And the show's clean. I do a lot of corporate stuff, do a lot of fundraisers. And if anybody's interested, they can call me 781-589-7777. And I got Pete Costello working with me on August 24th.
I saw Pete not too long ago.
Florian Hall. Pete's my good buddy.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. I met Pete through Russo. So it's we all kind of do this, everything together, you know. But
it's a small pond.
Yeah, yeah.
And I might add that I've been Facebook friends with Joy Voices since
long time,
2014.
Yeah. That's a lot. It's 5 years.
So,
Facebook years is like dog years, right?
It actually is. Joy, I want to thank you so much for coming.
Kevin, thank you for having me.
God bless, my friend.
Yes, you too,
brother.
Success
with the book. Of course, we'll be talking shortly.
Hey, when my JFK book comes out, you have me back on?
All over it.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
You're
going to
love it.
We'll let you co-host for the night.
That'd be great.
How's that?
I'd love to.
Excellent.
That'd be great. Well, maybe we can do it when it comes out, maybe around the time of the assassination.
November?
Or whatever. Yeah. Okay. I'm hoping to have it out before this fall. If not, it'll be out next fall. But we can kind of figure something out and talk about it. You're going to love it. It's great. I've been writing it for 2 years now. And it's some of the things that you just, I'm telling you, it's mind blowing.
Well, looking forward. Yeah, we're gonna make Cross-Check Radio is waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
As you see, Alex wore my shirt tonight. It's okay. We're boys in black here. Great having you on. Be sure to stay tuned. Coming up, a fantastic debut of Cross-Check Radio. Andy, Alex, and two-time Stanley Cup winner, Kevin Stevens.
Kevin Stevens, the legend.
The legend. Coming up in a few moments here. You've been listening to Monday Night Talk. Till next week at 6:15 p.m. Have a good evening.